the softly whispered phrase that breaks a nation. The dying of many boffins to bring about the end of the Death Star. A knife in the dark that changes the fate of a country.
Intrigue campaigns are the perfect mix of sneaking, slang, and social. And if you really want to level up your game as a storyteller, we'll show you how to run some amazing intrigue games for your players. Let's level up your storytelling tonight on our show.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about intrigue.
Yeah, intrigue campaigns.
Yeah.
This is a theme that we love quite
Absolutely.
A lot. And you should love as well.
In fact, you're running one right now, aren't
you? I am, in fact, running an intrigue campaign right now. Now, intrigue campaigns are special because they're tough to run. But if you do them right, and we'll show you how,
yeah,
they can be way more fun than just your typical hack and slash.
So, I Matt, agree.
What makes an intrigue-based adventure different?
First off, there's a lot of story variety. There are layers of the story within the story.
Yes. And if it's run right,
it's anything but boring. I know a lot of people are like, oh, look, we're going to sneak around. Nobody ever gets to kill anything. And all we're going to do. No, no, no.
Plenty of people to kill.
Well, there's that. But also the level of paranoia that you can induce in an entry campaign can make Call of Cthulhu look like a walk in the park.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Yes. One of the things I love about intrigue campaigns is that it takes you to interesting locales. So not your typical dungeon, right?
Right.
Now, they're generally urban style in many campaign settings, but they can also include all kinds of stuff. So, for example, they can include wilderness adventures. So, like, secret spy bases Mr. Bond to infiltrate?
Sure. I mean, realistically, the payoff for Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
The Forest Moon of Endor, right? That's...
Could be an intrigue campaign right there.
A lot of it was leading up to that. You've also got, what, private islands?
Yes, Mr.
There's
Bond.
Your, yeah, I was going to say, there's your Mr. Bond right
Absolutely.
There. Everybody's got to have a private island.
Talk about Mr. Bond. Deep underground would be great. So if you're doing fantasy campaign, it could be the Underdark, or it could be that volcano fortress where they hook you up to a bunch of laser beams. A little Dr. Evil action going on.
Sure. Military bases.
Yeah, either infiltrating or doing something in with regards to the military. You could also do stuff like trendy mansions.
Absolutely.
Luxury yachts.
A train.
Oh, Murder on the Orient Express.
Yep.
Some kind of fancy zeppelin if you're doing like a 1920s adventure. Or again, magical zeppelins, whatever it is. If you're playing fantasy.
Majestic air flumph.
The majestic air flumph. Be great. And if you're going magical, speaking of which, you could do stuff like private dimensions or magical locations.
Yeah. I like the way you're going to gloss over the fact that only you and the people who play your game understand that the Majestic Air Flump is a floating thing the size of a city.
It is what it is. We'll come out with stats for that delightful monster as well, but it is basically a city-sized flump that floats in the plane of air, I might add. And finally...
You could even do it in space.
A la Moonraker.
Sure.
Depends on your game, right?
Yep. You get to blend across a... variety of economic and social spectrums. This allows the players to include encounters that they don't necessarily normally get to play in the same campaign.
Yeah. So a good example of that would be parties.
Sure. You could have everything from galas, events, ballrooms, and in that same party theme though, right? You could do nightclubs and, you know, the other spectrum of parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Either criminal parties or political parties would be fun.
Sure.
You could do charities. And I mentioned political parties, but also political events.
Oh, yeah.
I think about, and again, don't worry about modern day if you're not playing a modern day campaign. All of this stuff can apply to sci-fi stuff, could apply to fantasy. A lot of this could apply to D&D. Imagine somebody running for a mayor and they're having a political dinner.
Sure. The other, I mean, if, like, there are oftentimes comparisons that are fairly close. The difference between an inauguration and a coronation is 300 years.
Yeah. Not much going on there. You could also do guild halls or corporate boardrooms.
Absolutely. Once again, those are pretty strong correlations.
Or corporate intrigue. Or a little,
yeah.
Maybe You've got a guild of miners you got to infiltrate or sway, blackmail.
You can do state or kingdom sponsored events.
Yes. So there's a lot of opportunity to do different things. And you'll see that this is a reoccurring theme as well. One of the things I also enjoy, influencing a culture as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Some kind of power dynamic game. It's not just I kill this bad guy, go get the bad mystical object, you know, save the common people. It's you could literally just have a political campaign game.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
And on that same token, you can have an economic campaign.
Mm-hmm.
If that's something you're interested in, I know there's a lot of play back and forth you can do with that.
You could also change the social structure.
Absolutely.
So you could free an oppressed group in your game world, or you could oppress a particular group in your game world if you're playing an evil campaign.
Sure. And my personal favorite.
Revolutions.
Viva la revolution!
Yeah, overthrowing, toppling power structures, right?
Yes.
Again, playing spies.
Yeah.
Spies, assassins, all that kind of, you know, fun stuff.
Yep.
There's also a lot of different methodologies than your typical hack and slash in an intrigue campaign. Now, normal adventures have a lot of this stuff, but you can focus more on some of these aspects that you normally can't.
Yeah.
More specifically, stuff like infiltration is something you don't see a lot of unless you're playing like a rogues gallery type game.
Right. And in a modern campaign or a super modern campaign, you've got hacking as an option.
Yeah. So some kind of data gathering.
Oh, yeah.
Whether scrying or jumping on the net, plugging yourself into the Matrix, chummer.
Yeah, by hook or by crook, man.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about social skills and having a diplomancer in lots of different games, the bard being the diplomancer, for example. But what a great game where you actually play a diplomancer.
Yeah, it's not about reputation in an entry game. It is life or death.
Yeah, so you could use diplomacy, deception, and influence people without ever drawing a blade.
Yep.
Which is, if you're into a lot of role-playing, this is perfect for you.
Absolutely. Even intimidation can definitely have its place in an intrigue campaign.
100%.
You can also do psyops, right? PR, spin doctoring, even marketing.
Yeah, imagine just being in a marketing firm. I don't know how fun that would be, but why not?
Sure.
If you're a team that maybe alters the course of something, so for example, say you're playing Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Your Shadowrunners are all a bunch of marketers or corporate wage slaves that run like a little runners group inside another corporation, and they're basically spies within a corp.
Nice.
Imagine how much fun you could have with that. You want to go the fantasy route? That's cool. You maybe use magical illusions to influence the person in power's look from the people who voted him in, or, you know,
yeah,
or maybe it's a king you're trying to discredit and you want to, you know, start a revolution.
You know, just slight illusions can do so much.
Yeah. A lot of fun stuff with that. We mentioned infiltration, stealth. Having a stealth campaign is always a lot of fun if you're playing a bunch of rogues.
A blackmail, intimidation, and leverage campaign.
And this throws into a lot of questionable morals, but if you want to take that RP route, go for it.
There are for the greater good style campaigns, right? Like if you're doing a bunch of very morally questionable things with the end goal being saving millions of people, then, you know, your character has to ask themselves those hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. Got to ask those questions, find out how much is it worth your players to maybe do some things that they may not want to do or regret.
Yeah.
You certainly can't play this with a bunch of paladins.
Sure you can.
Well, if they're paladins of intrigue, hey, think about that. That'd be fun. A paladin of intrigue?
Absolutely.
That'd be fun. And of course, you can always murder people as well.
Yes.
Which is always a tried and true in any spy campaign.
Yeah, because James Bond has never shot anyone.
Sure. Now, Matt, you've decided that you want to play an intrigue campaign. You're a DM. You're ready to go. What do we do? What are some ways we can maybe get our players in the mood? how can we kind of dress it up a little bit?
I feel like an entry campaign is a great place for theatrics and atmosphere, right? Because when you're playing a standard hack and slash game, not everybody is going to cosplay their character,
yeah.
Right? However, if you're going to be at a fancy ball as part of your campaign, just ask people to dress up a little bit. They could, and it doesn't even have to be for the correct time period.
No.
People get a certain feeling when they are dressed to the nines.
And you want to play some James Bond super spy stuff? It's a perfect thing to do, right?
Exactly. Even if you're playing a D&D campaign, if the ladies come in cocktail dresses and the dudes come in tuxes, if they've got them laying around or a sharp suit, man, run it. It's going to give you that feeling of being right in dressed and appropriate for what you're going to be doing.
You can also break out the black leather, go full Assassin's Creed if you're playing fantasy stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, again, what game are you playing?
Right.
We talk a lot about D&D, playing D&D. You could go Renfest with this stuff, but if you don't want to do that, you could go just straight fantasy. Maybe you're playing a thieves gallery of a bunch of rogues.
Yep.
Everybody dresses like a rogue. You're playing a bunch of pirates, maybe some smart pirates that are information brokers on the high seas. Everybody dresses as a pirate.
Sure.
I mean, it's not necessarily the pirate campaign that I would play, but it'd be kind of cool to do.
If I was in a pirate campaign, I would still be willing to have intrigue portions of it, 100%.
Definitely be a swashbuckling time of whimsy for me. I'm just saying.
Sure. Something else you can do is music, appropriate lighting, snacks, cocktails or mocktails if you don't drink at the table or if you have people that don't drink at all.
Yeah.
That's if you're in person, obviously. If you're playing online, consider your background.
So maybe change your background up.
Exactly.
Even just stick a poster behind you or something like that. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Some shower curtains. They've got some amazing ones on Amazon.
It's true. 100%. If you're doing a street carnival, you could do street food.
Sure. Grab some tacos or corn dogs. Just anything that feels like something you've picked up at a street festival.
Even if it's just a bunch of olives and some dirty martinis.
Sure.
Pigs in a blanket, little weenie things on a stick.
Yep. In fact, with very little practice, you can fake expensive hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Very little practice.
I would love to do a James Bond style intrigue campaign. I don't even care what version it is. I don't care if it's Shadowrun, D&D, something, D20 Modern, anything. There's tons of games out there.
Sure.
You could easily either redo it. They probably have one where you just play a spy.
Oh,
anyway.
Sure.
Imagine rolling in, you got some caviar on a cracker. You get your, you got your suit or your dress, whatever your inclination.
Yeah.
And you sit down, just play a bunch of spies, a bunch of rogues galleries, right? You've got a mission. And of course, we'll get to a bunch of the different styles of missions and themes, but I mean, there's all kinds of fun options for this.
Imagine, if you will, you know how we have Agatha's, the murder mystery dinner theater? Imagine one of those set up for a James Bond style evening where everybody gets a character card ahead of time. So they know who they are and what information they're trying to get.
Oh, but not everybody knows what everybody's doing.
Exactly.
One of the people has to be a double agent.
Oh, yeah. I feel like a couple of the people in the dinner have to be people who work for the place, but nobody knows who's who.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. And we're just giving you guys options, of course. So if you want to do something a little bit more specific, that's fine too.
Sure.
We're just kind of getting the juices flowing to run an intrigue campaign. Speaking of which, if you want to run an intrigue campaign, Matt, what are some good ways to start in terms of storytelling and narrative development?
First off, intrigue campaigns are far more RP heavy than a typical campaign.
Absolutely. And this is something that's very important because if your players roll up expecting to just roll some dice, kill some monsters, may not be the game you want to play.
Right.
You can do it, but they're not going to enjoy it as much. So the DM has to do some kind of creative legwork.
You've got to have NPCs already built. You have to have their affiliations, their motivations, and things that move the storyline pre-connected.
Yeah. And I would say in the beginning for that, you go ahead and start making a doc of some bullet points in terms of ideas. For NPCs, you need to have some background, like who they work for, what they're, like you said, what their motivations. I would just make 10, 15 of these because they're going to run into some stuff that you didn't anticipate and you need to have a character on the jump.
One of the ways that I would do this, and this just came to me, if you have a like a city map that you're showing your group, you have your own city map that is color-coded. So if buildings where specific NPCs are, if this person supports these people, their building is red. If this person supports these people, their building is green. And just color code your map.
Who's enemies with who and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. You're wrong side of town. You might have to do a little fancy footwork or some diplomacy to get those people on your side.
Absolutely.
They might just murder you outright.
One of the things you have to think about is an intrigue campaign requires player buy-in from minute one. You have to session zero it.
Yes. And if you haven't listened to our session zero session, go check it out. We have a nice, delightful episode on session zeros. And honestly, if you're not doing session zeros, you really should be.
Yeah, because part of it is safety tools and what people are comfortable with and all of that. And that's fantastic. That is what provides for a safe game.
Right.
But part of it is, what do you want out of this game? What type of game is everyone expecting? What type of game are you planning on running? Having everybody on at least similar pages is what makes a great game. Having a safe game is a necessity. Having a great game
is fun.
Is what makes everybody happy at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's the reason you're playing this is because everybody wants to have fun.
Right.
So have that session zero because they need to be invested. They need to be comfortable enough to play their characters properly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they need to be great at it, but they just need to be comfortable playing whatever character they're playing for an intrigue campaign. Because again, you may not just be stabbing people in the dark. You might be talking, dancing, doing all kinds of social interactions with the NPCs and stuff. And that requires a bit of comfortableness being that character.
Yeah.
Everyone should have a good understanding of the genre as well for this to work right.
Couldn't hurt. Yeah.
Go watch some movies.
Sure.
You know, and there's a long list. Doesn't matter whether it's the old school James Bond stuff.
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible is great. Even as you mentioned before, Indiana Jones has some intrigue situations in it. If you're playing like a 1920s type thing.
Absolutely.
There's all kinds of other stuff as well. Game of Thrones is great for intrigue.
It's true. You could check out some of the old film noir because a lot of the PI stuff is intrigue based.
Yeah. And all that applies to whatever game you happen to be playing. Additionally, it all comes down to how are you going to tell your story? What do you mean by that, Matt?
You're going to have spies. Sure. Is it social espionage? Is it a heist? Is it sabotage? Or most likely, some combination of these.
And you don't have to be specific again. You can be. More specific, the easier it is to build this. But have a basic idea of what kind of stuff you're going to run. If it's going to be an infiltration series of episodes, okay, cool. How are you going to build that? If there's going to be some political intrigue, or maybe, like you said, revolution type of campaign, that's way different than a data heist.
Yeah, and it's going to inform partially how your players create their characters.
Yes.
Because if I think this is going to be a mix and match campaign and there's going to be some violence, but you're planning on playing a strictly social scenario campaign, I'm not only going to be out of place, but I'm going to be out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to end up being no fun for me.
Yeah. What we're saying here is basically get a general story arc bullet pointed.
Yeah.
You don't have to fill in the blanks. Kind of have a basic idea of what's going on. What also do you define as success or failure for the players?
100%.
And that could include how they succeed as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple ways to succeed in a campaign like this.
If it's espionage, success might be at one point making sure that Dr. Evil doesn't finish his laser. Right? A higher end of success is that the general public is unaware that such a super laser might have ever existed.
Because that could change the power dynamics.
Exactly.
Yeah. Most importantly, what are the consequences of your character's actions on the area of location, right? So on the city, on the nation or the world, or even just the people in general that you're influencing if you're playing that type of campaign.
Yeah.
What are the consequences of actions? We talk about consequences of actions all the time on this show. And the reason is because if you're playing a good storyline, you're moving what the players do with how the world is being built as you play.
Yeah. Because how does the world react to characters that are changing the dynamic of a city, a country, a world? Those are going to be very famous people, and the world should react to that in some way.
Yeah. Speaking of Dr. Evils and potential world-ending scenarios, we've got...
a question of the week.
All right. What kind of question of the week do we have this evening?
You are an out-of-place character for an espionage game. Subtlety is not your strong suit. What are you playing, and how do you make it work?
Oh, that's easy. I'm playing the diversion. If I can't be subtle, I'll make sure that no one else sees my party.
See, that is fantastic. I was thinking the other out of place kind of primary character, which is the muscle in the bad suit.
The murder hobo?
No. Just I'm the guy that stands there being intimidating, right? Just Everyone here is aware that I'm waiting to be told to murder all of you. So let's keep on my boss's good side, and everything's going to be okay.
See, I'd play like a clown or something, like just something like, you know, ridiculously gaudy, and literally all eyes would come up. That would be a great face character too. If you think about it, like play a, if you're playing a bard in D&D or something like that, like just the gaudiest stuff. If you're playing some kind of modern style campaign, he's got like a rhinestone suit.
Oh yeah.
Big old cowboy hat. It just looks as ridiculous as possible because everyone's like, what the hell's up with this guy? Meanwhile, the rest of the party's sneaking in the back door.
Yeah.
Doing the data heist, murdering the people and such. A little stabby, stabby action.
Metallic mesh bodysuit with a glowing underlay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Stand out as much as possible. Oh, crap, is this the wrong party?
Yeah. It could be anything, right?
Yep.
What is your out-of-place character for an espionage campaign? Let us know at Goblin's Corner on Twitter. And, of course, you can hit us up on all the channels as well. Put it down in the comments on YouTube.
Indeed. We appreciate all input.
That's right. Okay. You've laid the groundwork. You've set the stage. You've got your bullet points and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we moving forward after this?
What do the characters need to know ahead of time? Like, what's the world political situation, the social strata, all of the things that they should know for where they're at, unless they're literally just being drop shipped into a new country.
And this is important, particularly if you're playing with maybe characters that don't know the game world they're in.
Yeah.
So you got to give them something to go on, because especially in an intrigue campaign, you got to know, like,
what's going on?
What's the situation, right? What's the sit rep?
And you should never be afraid to use the phrase, oh, and your character would know this, ...
Yes.
Don't punish them for not knowing the campaign world.
Now, if you're dropping them into a brand new country, they can figure this out on their own and they got to use their information gathering, but you're still going to want to have that list of stuff that they figure out at some point. If you're doing this as a mission theme type game, like Mission Impossible or something like that, give them a little dossier, like print out a dossier, hand it to your players, right?
Like literal dossier.
Yeah. A great thematic, because they're already dressed up. You've got the hors d'oeuvres, you got the martinis, Mr. Bond, and you're just like, your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Exactly.
Pop out the manila envelopes.
Yep. Write it on flash paper.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Make them speak into their shoe. Like, get smart. That'd be kind of fun too.
Something else you have to consider is, how are all of these characters assembled?
How are they formed as a team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did they get together?
Are they a team even?
I mean, it would be best if they start off that way, but
they don't have to be.
Yeah.
What are the motivations for being in this set of scenarios? What I mean by what their motivations are in terms of this is, what do they want to do?
Right.
Why are they doing what they're doing as well?
Sure. And there's a lot of options from media, right?
There's plenty of tropes.
Yeah. You mean spies trained from birth. Just random people with their own personal tragedies trying to get back at the world.
They could be loyal subjects of a king or a nation.
Sure. James Bond, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Queen or country, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe the game starts in a boot camp scenario.
Yeah, like Kingsman.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even like a spy training school or something like that as well. It may start at graduation. Maybe you've graduated from assassin school and now you're a top assassin. You got to murder all these other assassins.
Yeah.
Little John Wick stuff would be kind of cool too.
Oh, yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Definitely work some of that in there.
Great for assassins, right? These could be a series of questions you ask your players in your session zero. So you've got your dossier.
Yeah.
You've got the session zero. You've already built the world out, or at least had a story arc made. Give them a series like 10 questions. How did your character get into this profession? What are their motivations for serving, insert whoever they're working for?
In fact, another fun way to put the team together would be at your session zero, you talk through what characters people are making and all of that stuff. The characters don't know each other, but you make a dossier for each of the characters.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And their boss has brought them together to accomplish X job. And literally, you just give each of them a dossier of their party.
So beforehand, when they're making their characters, you ask them like a series of 10, 20 questions. You put their dossier together with a headshot and everything.
Absolutely.
Get it on the old school font and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, you pass out, here's your dossiers on your teammates. That would be great.
That'd be super cool.
Bonus points if you can make like the pretend passports and stuff like that for the game.
Sure.
And guys, if you're graphic design, do some of that stuff. That'd be a lot of fun.
Don't make them too good.
Yeah, don't make them real good because then you'll get into trouble. Once you've done all of that, you can provide plot points and jump points early on when you start this campaign. What do we mean by that?
Most entry games have multiple ways to handle a situation.
Yes.
So you could either convince a ruler to move some troops, or you could, in that same region, kill a favored duke so that he moves those troops to protect that area.
And this is what we're talking about. Figure out what success or failure means for your group, because both of those succeed in the same purpose if it causes the king to move the troops to this particular place. One involves a little stabby-stabby. One doesn't. You could also, if you plan a fantasy campaign, again, play some illusions. Oh, there's an army outside this city. Move the troops.
Yeah.
You could convince the guildsmen to go to the king and tell him to move the troops.
Yeah.
A lot of different ways to do the same thing. And that's, again, that's why we love intrigue campaigns, because there's always a way around something.
Exactly. I love the loopholes. I love figuring out options that aren't readily available.
Now, one thing I want to talk about is clues.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless your players have played an intrigue campaign before, they might not be savvy on how to figure things out at first. They might think, the most direct way is just to assassinate someone, right? If they haven't drawn from a lot of the intrigue, genre, that might be the easiest thing. Or they might think of a simple solution. Maybe you want to lead the players along a little bit because their characters are smart and they figured stuff out. They're savvy spies,
right?
Even if the players are not used to playing this style. So you want to throw some cool clues. Clues can be subtle.
Yes.
Or they can smack them over the head with them.
For example, Hudson Hawk. There's a scene in there where one of the spies hands him a little card that says, "Watch out for the blue wire." That's all it says. Later on, when he's doing an examination of a room, he finds the blue wire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a
subtle clue.
It is subtle. It has a blatant tendency, i.e., there is a thing you need to know, but you don't know what it attaches to until you actually look for it.
Yeah. Could also literally just be, hey, when you get here, here's the security code. And that's fine too, because you've got maybe some other spies that are gathering intel.
Yeah. Or something as blatant as, this person is incorruptible. They must die. Right? That is as blunt as it can be.
Yeah. Help the mission, right? So, I mean, yeah, as you mentioned, could be a note handed to players, could be a regime change overnight, right?
Yep.
How does the style you're going for affect your gameplay as well?
That's really important.
And there's different styles. And give me a couple examples, Matt. Like, what are we talking about when we say this?
Okay. Indiana Jones has some espionage elements there. You know, he's got to follow a list of clues to reach a destination, but also he has to do it before
someone else does. And it oftentimes starts with like some kind of mysterious object or a clue.
Yeah.
And so he's got to fly someplace and you cue the montage with the little dots in the plane.
The travel line is important.
It's very important.
A French resistance style game also works. The players live or work in an occupied country and they're fighting back in various ways.
So maybe they're a cell.
Exactly.
That would be kind of cool where you've already infiltrated the country, but you're pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah. Or you are simply a cell that was there when the country was taken over.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That'd be kind of neat too.
And so what you're doing is you're trying to social engineer your way for certain situations, sabotage for certain situations.
We die with sabotage.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. Speaking of sabotage and stuff, you could be a Black Ops team.
Yeah.
And this is a great mission-based type thing. So maybe you're playing something episodic, or maybe you're playing where your players can't play every week or every other week. And so people come in, people go out. What a perfect way to play a game with a story. And again, with that dossier, right? Someone new comes in, he's on this mission this week.
Yeah.
You know, this other guy's on another job.
Yeah. If one of your players can't make it, the reason they can't make it is built in.
Do a little 24 action. This is time sensitive. You've got 24 hours to be able to get to this place to do this thing to kill this guy.
You have 5 hours of game time to succeed. Go.
Yes, go do it. And of course, because we're amusing, you could go, as I mentioned, get smart, but you could also do some spy versus spy type stuff.
Sure, some Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Like, you can do the ridiculous end of the spectrum. And at some point in time, you should. Just get as absolutely ludicrous with it. Turn it up to 11.
Put some comic relief in it, even if you're playing a very serious campaign. Because at some point, people are going to get stressed out. They're going to get burned out. There should be either downtime or some comic relief in between these major serious story arcs you're throwing at the characters.
Yeah. Sometime, just like make something simple. Have a mustache-twirling villain that is okay to punch in the face and then shoot in the head.
Overtly an asshole.
Yeah, he's just a monster, and he's there to be a punching bag.
He's tying people to the railroad tracks.
Exactly.
He's kicking kittens. He murdered a flump. He's got to fucking die, man. Got to kill him.
Bees that way.
Bees that way.
He's got a freaking, like, instead of a fur coat, he's got a flump coat.
How dare he?
Oh, yeah.
He can't do that to flumps. Man. Okay. So you've got your game. You've got a couple of ideas. Hopefully you've got your juices flowing and you're already writing down some notes on how to make a really cool intrigue campaign. Now we, being the people we are, have provided you some delightful themes that you might want to consider for an intrigue campaign. Matt, start us off. What do we got?
Tension.
A tension campaign. Going 24 here?
Yeah, you've got to have tension. Otherwise, it never actually feels like an intrigue campaign.
Sure. And this is a tough thing to narrate sometimes. So I would say if you're going to do a tension campaign or tension theme, plan for some written text already.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to be ad-libbing stuff and it may or may not work. This is coming from an improviser, by the way. Write some stuff down.
Sure. Get yourself a metronome.
A metronome? Oh, yeah. Every time they do something serious, you... Tick, tick, tick. That is a great idea. I've never heard of that.
It just came to me. Literally just
now. Because we're geniuses. You could do a theme of overwhelming odds. Me against the world.
James Bond is the perfect example, right? He's one dude in a room, 50% of which wishes him dead.
Oh, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love the ever-ticking clock.
That's another good metronome use right there.
Yeah. I love the idea of class wars, too.
Me, too. And I think everybody does at the moment.
Perfect time to start up a class war campaign, folks.
And?
You should. And speaking of class wars.
And a revolution or resistance
you
campaign.
Just want to run, you just want to run a revolutions campaign.
I want to run one and be in one. That is sadly the world where my brain is. I'm just like, I really think it would be fun to run someone through one, but I also would like to get to play and destroy things.
Get a little Guy Fawkes action.
Yeah.
Now, going straight intrigue, if you want to go more of a social aspect, you could have the theme of betrayal.
Sure.
You got burned by a spy, or maybe someone turned rogue.
Yeah.
Hunt them down. Or maybe, because we've mentioned it doesn't start in a bar, maybe this starts all of you are in prison because you got betrayed by a former teammate.
Sure.
That'd be kind of fun to start off the campaign with.
Yeah.
How do you escape? How do you get back to base?
Court-martialed for crimes they didn't commit.
Oh, a little A-team action. Thank you for throwing that together, sir. I was trying to think, how am I going to throw an A-team reference into this podcast? Matt already did it for me.
Not me.
That's why we're friends. Chase scenes are great as well.
Absolutely. You can't have a James Bond movie without him running across rooftops and making jumps that are humanly unlikely.
You better have a car with some rockets in it or some slick gadgets.
Absolutely. And run across train tops.
Yeah. And if you're playing a fantasy campaign, by the way, don't think you can't do this. They've got horses.
Absolutely.
Flying mounts, some aerial wagons. Combat. Yeah. A little wagon action. A little wagon chasing would be kind of cool.
Yeah. A little Three Musketeers style.
Absolutely. It'd be a lot of fun. Narrow escapes. What do you mean by that, Matt?
This is generally tacked to either like the overwhelming odds or the ticking clock theme, right? Succeeding by a mile is not very thematic for an intrigue style game.
Mm-hmm.
You need to switch the document and get out the window and start rappelling just as someone walks in the door, right? Like that sense of tension, that sense of like always being on the verge of catastrophe is
very Mission Impossible style.
Exactly.
Yeah. And again, got to bone up on your narrative chops as a DM for that. Again, write some stuff down, have that planned. If the players do this, this happens. Because that way, you don't have to be searching for words to say when they actually do the thing.
And if you have the time and the inclination, set up a soundboard.
Oh, that would be great for this.
Something like footsteps coming towards you down a hall, right? As the footsteps get slightly louder, You definitely hear a guard coming.
I would also say some thematic music would be very appropriate for this type of theme.
Sure.
It'd be a lot of fun. We also have some stakes type themes. So there's nowhere to go. Almost every challenge is a pass fail.
Yeah.
I'm going Kingsman on that.
Well, yeah, but.
Or any spy campaign. I mean,
absolutely.
High rolling stakes, man. You roll up into that Casino Royale, you better be prepared for some damage.
Casino Royale, Moonraker, right? Oh, we're just going to wipe out humanity. It'll be great.
Sure.
Ocean's 11, for that matter, any heist movie, the stakes are millions of dollars or
death
or jail or death in jail.
On that note, grand schemes as well, because your villains have to be larger than life.
Sure.
They've got the sharks with freaking laser beams. Right. They've got the volcano island. They've got the orbital satellite or magical satellite in space, wild space, if you're playing D&D. That's about to shoot laser beams down on something. They're about to vaporize the king or president or whatnot.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
They've got a spelljammer pushing a meteor into orbit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've got one giant space hamster about to devour the world. It could happen.
Sure.
Another theme, data heist. This doesn't mean just hacking. Could also include infiltration.
Yeah.
Data brokering.
100%.
That would be fun.
I love information brokers. Like, to me, they are some of the best characters in media because they have this, they generally have this air of neutrality. Like we don't do violence here. We play the grand game. It is all about the brain.
But the information can definitely go to violence.
Oh yeah, sure.
Also, shadow governments is a great theme to explore.
Yeah, a little Illuminati.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're either part of the Illuminati or you're fighting the Illuminati. And the power behind the throne.
In that case, you could be part of the Illuminati that's fighting the Illuminati.
Ooh, a little, that's a spy versus spy versus spy.
Yeah, I got the gray suit on.
Nice. I love that. And finally.
And this is something that's very important to me. The epilogue. Every entry game should have a payoff, should have a clear and concise victory, even if that victory includes the hook to the next adventure.
You've defeated the villain and you've did a job well done. You saved the day. Of course, there's a power vacuum over here. So now there's a new villain that has come on the scene, but you are rewarded because you have saved blank, right?
Exactly. Inspector Gadget saves the day, but in the background, I'll get you next time.
Oh, yeah. Right? Dr. Claw is ready again.
Clear and concise victory with the tie-in that this is something that's going to happen again until you get to the top dog.
I want his cat, by the way. Dr. Claw's cat.
Oh, yeah.
Always, when I was a kid, I always loved that cat. Now, finally, we've given a few story options that you are free to mix and match. And I love all of these. Any of these would make a great campaign. You can mix them together to have a really cool entry campaign as well.
Yeah.
And so, just for starters, you could play an Assassin's campaign. Players must eliminate someone in power, or even not in power, but someone who influences the masses to affect a particular outcome. That's an easy way to kind of get into, especially if your characters are very murder hobo-y.
Yeah.
How to get them in an intrigue campaign? Make them all assassins, right?
Yep.
They're still murder hoboing, but now they're doing it for a cause.
Yeah. And you got to be slick about it.
Sure. Yeah, you can't just roll up on some rando and bash him in the head. No, you got to sneak up on some rando and bash him in the head.
Exactly.
A little more finesse.
Assassin school. You've got, you know, things like Kingsman, which is the beginning of that is the secret agent school.
Mm-hmm.
But any type of school works.
This would be great for Strixhaven too, by the way.
Yeah.
Get a just bunch of
Strixhaven. Change some of that flavor a little bit. Just twist it slightly.
Just a little darker. Let's turn the dial down a little bit. Make it a little bit more eviler. Speaking of assassins, you could have a war of assassins. So maybe two rival groups of spies or assassins or whatnot, agents, seek to eliminate each other. What side do the players take?
Oh my God. A Smoking Aces campaign.
That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be so cool.
We're playing that. We're playing that as soon as possible.
Oh, wow. My brain just went to overdrive on that one. That would be so much fun. Holy cow.
And by the way, if you're playing rival groups of spies or assassins, at least one of the party members has to be a double agent just to instill a little paranoia.
Sure. You can play a gather the intel, right? The party must infiltrate, diplomats, bribe, intimidate, hack their way, whatever, and gain valuable information for their client. Doesn't matter who their client is.
Yeah, it could be a corp.
Sure.
Could be a government. Could be a private individual. And that's a fun thing. Just get the intel, right? Get the goods. Intel could mean a lot of different things, too.
Oh, sure.
Could be political influence. Could be government influence. It could just be something that saves the character's butt. Like, kind of like a little bit of blackmail. Okay, you could probably kill me, but if you do, this is going to go out on the internet.
Yep.
That type of thing. Speaking of stuff like that, you could play a smear campaign. Which, if you're playing a modern day or even a fantasy game, this would be awesome to run if you do it right.
Yep.
The party must blackmail, lie, or fabricate real or fake evidence to discredit an individual for the good of the realm. Now this, of course, you're playing with some questionable moral choices here, but if your players are down for that, go for it.
Sure.
You're not playing good guys here.
Nope. I mean, yes or no, you could be running a smear campaign for the right reasons. And against the wrong people.
That's very true.
Doppelgangers. The party must pretend to be specific individuals, either science, magic, or, you know, straight up disguises, to obtain information or influence.
And again, this could be a theme in the overall story arc, too.
Right.
Or you could just have a state where we're playing specific people. Here are your aliases. Have a dossier on that, too.
Absolutely.
A great thing to hand out, right? I love this idea. Where's the football? The party has a countdown before an immensely powerful device. So it could be a bomb, launch codes, a world-ending demon if you're playing some kind of fantasy thing, some kind of space laser, whatever it is, it's going to go off. And they have to use whatever means to find and disable the device or bring it back.
Yes.
Maybe somebody lost the football.
And that goes, obviously, this one plays directly into the high stakes and ticking time themes.
Yeah. Right? So you can definitely just kind of lean on that tension, lean on that intensity.
All for the money. The party sells weapons or intel to the highest bidder. What happens when they come across something that every nation would kill for?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. So you're basically playing Destro from G.I. Joe.
Yep.
Yeah. We've mentioned Mission Impossible. You could have an episodic group-style Mission Impossible game as well. So some Fate of the World stuff, right? But it's more of a mission-based thing. And again, this is great for people who maybe can only play a couple of games, or you want to try different styles of the other themes we've mentioned.
Absolutely.
To the same players.
Yeah.
So maybe one episode is very intrigued. You got to infiltrate and doppelganger everybody. The next one is a football episode where you got to get the atomic launch codes.
Sure.
The third one might be you just got to straight up murder somebody. And that is really cool because when it's episodic like that, it gives a lot of variety.
You have to abduct somebody from the Met Gala.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. At a fancy dress party, you got to abduct that person.
James Bond. A single or duo style game, right? Where literally you've got the DM and one or two players.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously brings up the overwhelming odds and the higher tension, right? Because you don't have a whole team of players.
You've only got like one or two people.
One or two people.
So smaller groups, same type of style. But in this case, you've got this larger than life villain.
Right.
It could be they're trying to control the market, the nation, the world. You got to be that suave martini drinking player, right?
Absolutely.
Roll in with your suit on and not a care in the world. Probably some kind of...
Play some baccarat.
Yeah. A little Casino Royale action right there. Additionally, your favorite game.
Yes. A Resistance or Revolution campaign. Players must overthrow the government. You cannot, as the start of a campaign, right? It has to be intrigue based. You can't go head on at a government as a party of five people unless you're starting at 20th level.
Yeah, you're not going to Guy Fawkes this thing immediately. You got to build up to it.
Yeah, you've got to make moves and strategies.
Get your alliances.
And alliances. Exactly.
That's a lot of fun. Another fun one that I think would be awesome to play is like a burn notice type thing. And the way I think about it is the players have been outed. So their government disavows them. They must survive on the run as assassins, spies, and maybe even their own government hunt them down. They were tried for crimes they did not commit. They're just roaming through in this delightful cargo van.
It did not occur to me until you just read that Burn Notice and the A-Team have some very strong parallels.
Very similar. Very similar stuff right there, which, I'm fine with playing either of those. Of course, an A-team intrigue campaign would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
The only problem would be is most Murdoch. Of the, yeah, who's going to play Murdoch? That's still be tough, right? it'd be awesome. I love this also. Cold War style espionage.
Yeah, just go old school with it.
Yeah. You've got a bomb, you've got a bioweapon, some kind of magical MacGuffin, Beholder Shark.
Sure. A Beholder Shark would be absolutely terrifying in a real world campaign.
Yeah, that'd be a bioweapon and probably a magical MacGuffin right there.
Yep.
It's going to alter power dynamics, right? So think country nation type stuff.
Yeah. And lastly, Kingmakers.
The power behind the throne.
I love that. The idea of literally the characters going into a civil war and going, okay, this is getting out of hand. You're going to win, and we're going to make it happen.
Yep. Meanwhile, you're going to direct this ruler to do the following things, and if not, kill him.
Yep.
So there you have it. Several options to create your own intrigue campaign for whatever game you're playing, fantasy or otherwise, as well as a bunch of story options, ways to set it up, some thematics, even a little bit of party atmosphere.
Yeah.
And themes and stories.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Flavor.
Yeah. Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblins Corner. And of course, we're on all of the things. Do you like our show? We hope so. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite player, YouTube and Twitch.
If you could do us a favor and click the 5 stars and give us a review on iTunes and Podchaser, on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, do all the wonderful YouTube things like clicking the bell so that you get notifications for new episodes.
That's right.
It boosts our show, puts us in front of new people, and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
He's currently sneaking up behind you with a martini and a Walter PPK. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name's Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
Show song by the Mighty D20.
What a wonderful guy.
This is a Subterranean production.
The end.